Those Damn Ross Kids is a podcast for adults, and the opinions we express do not reflect the opinions of our employers or even ourselves. If you would like to support the show, go to duckfeed.tv/tipjar and check out our Patreon campaign.
Not much. Sorry about that delay. The computer that I call you on was not available.
Was it taking a shit?
No. Somebody else had signed up to use it at the library.
Oh, yeah.
They looked up bad things.
I didn't realize you did these at the library.
Oh, it's the only way to fly, my friend.
Or do you only do this show at the library and the shit you talk about is what you see there? Lots of swords going on at the library.
Those Damn Ross Kids, a conversation between brothers featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
It's not making swords, it's using swords.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't recall you doing a story about someone hiding a sword that was a murder weapon.
No. I mean, like, technically, if you murder somebody with a sword, you're hiding it in their torso.
Man swallows murder weapon while being booked.
That's what you get when you try to prosecute circus crimes.
I've only ever tried to keister a dagger.
Yeah, as opposed to daggering a keister.
Boom, boom. Daggering keister.
Yeah, well, you know.
Who are you?
When it's the dance floor, it's you got to do what you got to do. Who am I knowing what daggering is?
Daggering a keister?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think you have the appetite for that.
No, I think it's one of those things where you talk a big game, but then, you know, when it comes.
Oh, hell yeah, baby. I can't wait to get you home to dagger that keister.
Oh man, I've got a code red here, not a Mountain Dew code red. So when I sit down to record, if it's in the middle of the day, I'll brew myself up a small pot of coffee. And I will take the thermal carafe and set it on my desk. And I will take the quart of half and half and I will put it on the desk. So that way I don't have to interrupt the show to get up and make myself another cup of coffee. Right. Just pour it right there.
So the temperature of your dairy is rapid cycling.
Yes. Yeah, it keeps it on its toes, you know.
Do you monitor the temp? Do you take it out down only so far? Or then you got to say... I got to go back to the fridge.
I mean, I feel it. You know, as long as it still feels chilled to the touch, then it's probably okay.
Did you learn that from Paula Deen?
You just need to chill
your cream.
Butter, y'all. Yeah. And that's also where I learned how to say the N word so frequently.
Really?
Yeah. No. So it's just something I do. And, you know, when we record, we usually go about like an hour and a half, and that's fine as long as it doesn't taste off. However, the problem is I've done this and I've lost the cap to one half of a quart of ultra pasteurized half and half for my coffee.
Hey,
I don't know where the cap is.
I dropped a cap to a 2 liter last night down in between the refrigerator and the cabinet.
Oh yeah.
And I looked at the 2 liter and I said, you only have about 30 cents left in you. I'm not digging down there.
Well, okay. Well, you just, I mean, I don't mean to compromise your OPSEC here, but you just redid your kitchen. So that gap between the cabinet and the fridge is probably not the fraught hell zone that most of those gaps are.
Probably not. Yeah. But it would not make a nice table for the trolls that live under the fridge.
Just little green ghouls.
You know, the ones that knock loose the ice cubes from the tray.
Mm-hmm. You're just going about your business at night and you hear... rattle, rattle, rattle. I'm like, ah, yes.
Hey, has anybody said what the subject of the conference call was in which the Papa John guy dropped the N-word?
I think it was a training exercise of some sort, but I don't know why the CEO would be on there unless he thought, haha, this is how I'll get around it.
Papa John's is the worst. I stopped going there. And I actually have a story about them.
Yeah,
like a
news story kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh. Well, we can get to that. But before that, Chris, what episode is this?
This is episode number 232. That's what was in my head, was 232.
Mm.
The one thing I'm not confused about is that this is an internet comedy podcast called Those Damn Ross Kids.
Your name is?
I am Chris.
And I'm Cole, and we're here to entertain your asses. I'm racing the clock on this half and half. Maybe I can use like a cling wrap over the opening at the top. Do you think that would work?
It could work. And are you probably rubber band too?
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. So what's the story you have about good old Papa John's, everybody's favorite limp disc of garbage?
So a tweet to Papa John's.
Okay.
I don't know. It looks like it was to the company. Said, I'd rather have frozen pizza than racist pizza.
Okay.
To which Papa John's responded, yeah, that's what we were trying to avoid.
That's why we fired that guy. Please, please come back.
We were trying the EBT angle. So the tweet is actually, these tweets are being shown by Papa John's in a 65-second ad posted to social media. They're actually showing the angry tweets.
They
say, you expected better from Papa John's. So did we.
did I?
Then after showing more tweets, the words, thank you for your anger, appear.
Oh, no.
Oh, this is some Taekwondo bullshit.
Yeah, no, fuck
this
them.
Take your energy and use it against you.
Fuck them. Good God. Thank you for your anger.
Thank you for your anger.
That's what a fucking troll would say. Not the trolls who rattle your ice cube trays. Not the tray jostling trolls.
And so while that thank you for your anger, then anger disappears and criticism pops up. And then criticism fades away and then honesty comes up. Then it says it is making us better. No, Krang, it's making you stronger.
What in the fuck?
Right.
Man, fuck those clowns.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do. They're doing the equivalent of what they see the president do.
Right, right.
If I do this out in the open, if I just say this out in the open,
yeah,
can use it to turn people.
Right. No, just get people over, create plausible deniability, you know, and all of a sudden it's not our problem anymore. It's your problem. I don't understand why you're making such a big deal out of this. I'm out here. I'm owning it. It's not like we, you know, aided and abetted this fucking racist person who did tons of other terrible stuff for decades. No, just like you caught us. We found out. And really, it's your problem for being angry about it. And we're just sitting here doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm. But here's the deal. After they did that whole, like, you know, whatever that move was in this PR play, they're moving forward with a minority-owned franchise effort.
Okay.
Giving mandatory bias training.
Oh, so they're taking the Starbucks route. Okay.
Yeah. They're going to close for a day and piss people.
they're going to close for a day and suffer fewer sales.
And then a rep for Papa John himself said the video produced by the company represents another example of the company attempting to hide the true facts. It amidst the avalanche of comments made by here's the Fox News angle.
Ooh.
You're not focusing on the economy.
Ooh.
It omits the avalanche of comments made by customers, employees, and others who support Papa John and feel the company is wrong.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Mm. Yeah, you're not looking at the benefits of being the official pizza of white nationalists.
Whoa.
You know, there's a very hungry, very mediocre audience out there who exists to be served. And honestly, this is malfeasance to the shareholders.
Did they score the box in some way that it would fold into a torch?
And all the grease is there as a propellant. No, which all you got to do is, you know, as you're eating that pizza, there is no pizza with a greater with a greater crust thickness to crust thickness to rim thickness of a Papa John's. So the inside of the pizza really thin and shitty and soaked with grease. The outside of the pizza is an impenetrable gummy.
Playground.
An impenetrable gummy playground. Which, do you nibble on up to the impenetrable gummy playground, you take that, you wrap the box around the top of it, and boom, that's a torch handle. It's basically wood anyway.
Yeah, I mean, kind of. Kind of, in a way.
Yeah, so...
And I had this wild theory, and I actually expressed it to a client the other day.
you were just talking about Papa John's to a client?
No, not at all. Like, it was about the torch people.
Right.
Yeah.
The neo-Nazis, yes.
Yeah, the torch guys. Mm-hmm. The guys that found khaki on clearance.
They were dressing explicitly like the fucking president.
Why is everyone dressed like Jim from The Office? And stop it.
No, just, there's rolling around in those dumpy ass pleated khakis, because that's what the president wears when he fucking golfs. Continue.
Right.
Sorry.
So the theory was that the current political machine has gotten all these white people to hate all the programs that they need, and it's left them conflicted, so they have no option in their confusion but to grab torches.
I don't know. Gotta burn something.
I don't. And it's a classic line. I think it's from, Parks and Rec or something. Like, I don't want the taxes that come out of my unemployment check going to pay for whoever. You know what they withhold from my disability?
Yeah.
You got to be kidding me.
It is. I think. It's a belief that I once held, but I want to back off of it because I don't know that it's explicitly helpful. But it's definitely a thing.
I didn't realize that's what we were trying to do.
I'm just
start over.
I'm putting forward episode one. It is a thing that is relatively common to hear out of liberals and maybe some of the left, but. Just the idea that, the entire right is full of dum-dums who have been convinced to vote against their own best interests. And it's an argument that makes, you know, a certain amount of sense, right? Because you've got a kind of a plutocratic group of people on the right, Freudian slip, the Republicans, who said, all right, well, we will use racial grievance to get people riled up to vote for us so we can make ourselves richer and themselves poorer. So that way, when they, you know, need a program, they are so, you know, they are so against using it that it just goes away. So, and that is how you starve the beast, right? I don't like that really, because that is.
So what you're telling me is, that putting the pride back in white pride means eating out of a dumpster instead of getting a government program.
To own the libs? Yeah. I mean,
is that what we're doing now? We're owning the libs, huh?
Yes, that is the program.
When did we revert to 1948 terminology? The Dems, the libs. I mean, you could go back to 1880 for that.
The Dems and the libs?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I just that is the common terminology for what I'm describing. And you know, like the meme is, you know, when somebody is like, when Hannity got all upset because Keurig pulled their advertisement from his program, and he's, you know, like, everybody was going out and setting their Keurigs on fire. You know, these $180, $250 machines. You know. And just in order to own the libs, like, destroy my own property to somehow make the liberals angry.
Mm.
Yeah.
Is it the burning plastic?
No. It's just
it
like
wasn't the actual machine themselves.
No, it was the machine itself. It's like, haha, Keurig is bad because they didn't support the man who's slowly transforming into an angry thumb. So I'm going to go burn my own thing that I paid for in order to show them something or other. It's not specifically sensical, but yeah,
doesn't make any sense.
No.
So here's the question: if I express an idea here, is that, and then someone else does it, can we sue them for that?
Like from an intellectual property kind of deal?
Like if I had an idea for a creative vehicle that I wanted to pitch, like say a television show.
I think you just have to follow the Bim Bam rules, and after you say an idea that you realize is good, you want to call dibs on it by saying TM, 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 like really fast. So as long as you do that, I think you're safe.
Okay. All right. So TM, right? I say that before?
After. It has to be very hasty after you realize that the thing you said as a joke is not actually a joke, is a good idea, and you don't want anybody to steal it.
Okay. So I have been taking classes in a social, like a human services field.
Right.
And the school is located not far away, but it's far enough away that it's a completely different group of people. And it's in an urban environment, and their curriculum is like, you learn something general, like about say human development, but then you have to apply it to the most, from the standpoint of someone who lives where I live, that you have to apply it to something that is kind of like a rhinoceros made of gold. It's like, if you did find one where we are, so in other words, like an elderly African-American gay man who collects giraffes.
Right. You're just like, it's not applicable.
It's like, let's take this thing and then apply it to something that does not happen out here in white rural America, to the extent that you need like a fully trained army of activists and advocates to try to solve it. Right.
Right. Right.
So I guess the long and the short of it is these liberal schools, particularly in human services, are not training people to come out here into white rural America and help the problems that are out here.
Right. So
which leads me to believe that like a lot of the reason these people are pissed, that, you know, the ones that are out here where I live, is because the people that are working across the desk to try to help them have no idea how to help bottom of the rung white people.
Right.
So I mean, I can get it from that angle, but after I thought of that, I started thinking about that one congressional race down in Northwest Columbus, where like there's this like little sliver of Franklin County.
Oh, right. That is just
that had all the blue, and it like carried 50%.
Right. Because of population density. Yeah.
Right. And so like all the mixed group of people and all the problems that are going on out here.
Mm-hmm.
What if we had a show that was called Swing State of Mind?
Okay. Is this like that Kevin Costner movie Swing Vote?
No, it's not Swing Vote. Swing State of Mind. So what you have is, you have like this, it's almost like community in a way, where you have this ensemble cast with people floating in and out.
Okay.
And the group is like a group of people who are sentenced to community service. So that's how they've come together in this like weird mix of people.
Right, right.
And then people slide in and out, and you drift away. So you use a little bit of like the Orange is the New Black, where you do get a little bit of backstory from the central group that comes together.
Right.
And it just shows the weird stuff that's going on in these outlying ranges of of Ohio, essentially.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Just a state where, you know, if you drive 20 miles in a direction, it gets substantially different.
Yeah, you don't even have to drive 20 miles.
Right.
And it's, yeah. And so I think that there's a lot of humor and a lot of stuff that could come out of that trademark, trademark, trademark.
No, I think it's TM, 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 TM. No, I think that could be good. Swing State of Mind is what you would call that?
Yeah, yeah, I think so. Swing State of Mind.
Yeah.
So if anyone knows anybody at Warner Brothers or whoever makes TV these days.
I think it's all Netflix now, buddy.
Is it all? Can someone please contact the Amazon?
Yeah, I keep on replying to my little Billy notifications with just a full on spec script for this idea, and it keeps getting bounced back. I think they're stonewalling me. It's really just making me want it more.
Dog, this shit's prime.
Yep. The tape on the box should have told you. Yeah.
The moose in your mind should have told you.
Mm, always carry. Always carry. Was it Marty Moose? No, Wally Moose.
Oh, that was the other thing. Not to make this like super political, happy fun time hour or anything, but
okay.
We went to a, I set up for work at a festival in our area.
Right. We're getting into that and into those times. It's like September is prime. September and August are prime festival times.
10 times.
Yeah.
Of summer. But there's somebody open carrying at the festival.
Jesus.
Like just gun on hip. And where were they shopping at? Were they getting sausage at this festival? No. Were they getting a chicken sandwich? No. They were coveting a booth that makes knives. And so it seemed completely fucking crazy.
Right.
That part of the literature that came out about this whole festival is that they've put in these concrete, blockades at the ends of streets so that people can't, pull a France.
Right. Or,
but then you're allowed to walk in there with a fucking gun on your hip.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because this is America.
So I called the police.
Okay.
And I said, hey, I'm out here at the festival. I just had a quick question for y'all. Notice you put in some barricades trying to keep us safe.
Uh-huh.
There's a man wearing a gun on his hip shopping for knives. What gives?
I just when you're looking at a complex situation like that, it's all about priorities and triage, okay? We got to make sure nobody feels uncomfortable.
So you know what the person who answered the phone said?
What did he say?
It was a her.
Okay.
We don't like it, but there's nothing we can do about it. We don't like it, but there's nothing we can do about it.
Okay.
So what I want to know is every time I walk into a city or government funded stadium.
And it has all the signs up that say, hey, this is not, carrying a weapon in here isn't cool.
Yeah. No guns.
Yeah.
So why in God's name, when you shut down an entire downtown area and you barricade it so that people can't drive through it, why are you allowed to have a gun? My problem is not necessarily the right to have the gun.
Right.
My problem is wait a minute, but there's nothing we can do about it.
That was that part of the conversation. After she said that, what did you say back to her?
I said, in this scenario, the only thing we can't do anything about is bears. If they want to come, I'm not fucking with them.
Right. We cannot reason with the bears.
No. You tried to have a conversation with the bears?
Mm-hmm.
No. They're always chewing on gum. You can't understand them.
No. Just chonking on that. Yeah, terrible. Terrible manners on those bears.
Ditka. But yeah, there's nothing we can do. There's nothing. Well, we tried.
See, the problem is you didn't.
I think there should be just like a little bit of consideration for like, I don't know. You know what I mean? It would be like Meyer putting in a shoplifting door.
Just like, this is the door that you need to walk through if you're going to take stuff.
Nothing we can do about it, but there's a door.
Yeah. It stands to reason to my fucking, I guess, un-American mind that if you put up barricades and you have police escorts and stuff, that transforms the space. What that person was probably saying is, oh, we can't do anything about it because it is technically in public and therefore the laws of the state or the fucking Second Amendment take hold. And this guy, this asshole who puts his own bravado over everybody else's sense of safety, he's just following the script.
Yeah, I don't know.
It seems like that space should have been transformed to a place where there was something you could do about it.
But later that night, four more individuals showed up with guns on their hips.
What the fuck?
Now, this is, I don't know this to be a fact, but they looked to be, or could have been confused to be, Middle Eastern men. Okay.
Okay.
I don't know what they are. I didn't ask. You know why? Because they were all dressed in all black and they all had guns on their hips.
Huh. Okay, so this is
so
the, this
swing
is more
state of mind.
What's up with them?
Fat white guy trying to buy knives with a gun.
Uh huh.
Versus ISIS. at a local festival here in Ohio.
Yeah. At this sausage themed festival.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I'm curious about that second group. I feel maybe this is unfair. I feel like I can get in the head of the first guy. The second group of people, that seems incongruous. I would like to have a conversation with them about that, about the choice that they have made.
There's more than one way to freak white people out. That's for damn sure.
Yeah. Well, that's how Reagan, they got Reagan to vote for gun control, like back when he was governor of California. And it's like, okay, well, you know,
remember what you said 10 minutes ago? Let's go with that.
What's that?
Remember what you said 10 minutes ago? Let's go with that. Oh, you don't? Oh, you were against guns.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, he was only against guns when black rights groups, such as the Black Panthers, started open carrying. Like, wait a minute, we got to fix this.
Whoa.
Yeah.
This was cool when it was just fists.
Jesus. Such a dumb conversation.
Which part?
Oh, just what I want. And I know that you cannot get this right now because the kind of person who would open carry a gun, the kind of person who would open carry a gun, if you ask them, who do you think you're making feel safe? They're not going to give you a good answer. And if you went to anybody else at that festival, it would just be a fucking coin flip. It would be a coin flip whether or not, like, even just asking the question would put them into a posture where they would say, where they would give you the pre-programmed answer that did not actually reflect how they felt, right? The question I would ask is, you know, the person at that festival is, like, does that make you feel safe? That guy over there with that gun on his hip, does that make you feel safe? Or does that put you on fucking edge? You know? You're just not going to get an answer about it. Yeah, you know?
Cuck. Snowflake.
Yeah, that's what they're going to say. Like, oh, you got a problem? It immediately becomes about this national thing as opposed to, like, literally, you know, in your heart of hearts right now as you're going around buying cotton candy for your kid, does that gun make you, does that gun, you know, catching the light off of the lanterns, does that make you feel safe right now? Or...
Well, hell yeah, motherfucker.
Right.
You goddamn right it does. I gotta make a stand now before diabetes takes my fucking leg.
If I lose this foot, I'm gonna. I feel bad using that voice. You got to make sure you use the ankle holster while you still have an ankle to put it on. You know.
Yeah. Well, he had it on his waist.
What kind of gun? Like, well, what kind of guns were these? Like, this is, it has no bearing because I would be uncomfortable with that.
It was just like an anonymous little black gun. It wasn't anything.
Well, like a handgun, not a long.
Yeah, he didn't have any, like, kind of tackleberry waist cannon or anything like that.
Well, you see those people. You see those people, like, you saw this especially around, counter protests around Occupy or Tea Party stuff, like people who would show up with just, you know, with long guns on their backs, just like because I can.
Yeah, I'm allowed.
There's nothing we can do, sir. I don't like
if
it.
The shooting starts, I'm gonna hide behind those truck barricades.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I have guns.
I know.
I don't like guns. I just don't. You know, and
there's
like
massive
groups of people.
It's a time and place kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, it sure is. I don't know. It's just not, I don't know.
Yeah.
It didn't set right with me, but it further makes legitimate swing state of mind. TM. Come on, TM.
Are you over pronouncing Tim?
Yeah.
Yeah, Tim.
You can do it, Tim. I mean, Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Jeff Tim. Private Jeff Eye. Tim. Jeff Tim, Private Eye. Huh. You okay?
Yeah, I'm all right.
I've got a story here since you mentioned, concrete things in Paris. This seems interesting to me. So people in Paris are upset about new installations that are kind of popping up around around the city. These things called urinoirs or urinoirs. These are concrete blocks that have an opening. They kind of look like trash cans, like you would see outside of a stadium or whatever. Except they have little planters on top, so you can put flowers. The idea being, this is a receptacle that people can, you know, sidle up to, like Homer Simpson, you know, in New York needing to pee and sidling up to the mailbox, to sidle up to and pee into this in public. No stall, no Planet Fitness privacy curtain around them. Just looking over the River Seine, I believe that is a river that goes through Paris, and pissing into a garbage can.
Yeah, it's a Christian side piss.
Give me that Christian side piss.
It's okay. Yeah. It's okay to whip your cock out by the river as long as it's a Christian side piss.
Right. as long as it's literally kind of right across the street from Notre Dame Cathedral.
I hear they're into that these days.
They're into lots of stuff that we wish they weren't. Yeah.
Congressman Furlong. Remember that from Veep when he says that the Catholic Church has ruined more kids than the Common Core?
you keep on just like texting me or calling me with these lines. I'm like, is that Veep? And you're like, yeah, I've seen every episode of Veep like 4 or 5 times, something like that. But like, I still do not know this stuff because that show is just so rapid fire with those. It's so dense.
Yeah. So good.
Yeah.
Not as good as Swing State of Mind, TMTM.
Right, TMTM. One of these is installed 22 yards or 20 meters from a primary school. Hi. Okay, so two downs in a game of American football away, you've got kids running and playing, and a dude just straight up, hey, hi, everybody. I'd wave with both hands, but you know. The designer says that these are supposed to offer an eco solution to public peeing, because inside of this, instead of just being a big reservoir of piss that is sloshing around, there is straw, and the idea being you let this thing that is festering in the midday Paris sun turn the piss and the straw into compost, which then you can use in parks and gardens. So, apparently, public urination.
Gotta be other ways to get piss, Cole.
There's gotta be a better way. But no, you get a lot of nitrogen in that from the ammonia. It's good. It's fine. It's fine. Mm-hmm. But yeah, apparently, public urination is a huge problem in Paris. So.
So let's put it to use. Let's roll with it.
Yeah, let's let us make just a nice brown black hummus out of piss and straw that we can, you know, use to beautify our parks. But yeah, the assumption that there's nothing we can do to stop men from just pissing everywhere, so we need to alter the fucking landscape of the entire city to make it acceptable for them to do so. It seems like it's declaring defeat to me. Seems like it's declaring defeat.
Yeah, you got to roll with it. I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know,
I don't have a solution. I criticized without telling you how to do it better.
So you tell people to stop peeing.
I don't know.
Quit it.
Just plug it, you know, just sell things that look a little bit like your plugs, except they're meant to go up there, you know?
Yes, Cole.
Yeah.
Cole, what I'm about to tell you now is an epic tale about subterfuge, dating in the 21st century and the fall of human civilization.
Okay.
Okay. It's about a man who and they call him Spencer. And a few weeks ago, he was on his Tinder machine, shopping his soul around. and he made a match with a very attractive young lady.
Shopping his soul around?
Yes, Cole. He was shopping his soul around.
Fuck.
There was no bio on the profile, just a very, very attractive young lady.
Is that what the bio said? Is that what the profile said? Describe yourself. Very, very attractive.
Very, very attractive young woman. Her name turns out to be Natasha. They started a light conversation.
As you do, you got to dance around each other.
And she tells him, I have this huge presentation I'm working on for my job. Would you be offended if I got back to you in like a week or two when I've got more free time? You're cute. And I want to meet you. I'm just too damn horny right now. I mean, too damn busy right now. The gentleman, Spencer, thought that Natasha was ghosting him. But a few weeks later, a new message.
Explicitly not
up.
Ghosting, though, when you describe, when you set a time frame and say, hey, I'll be back after this.
Exactly. And then she did.
She got back to him after 2 weeks?
She said, hey, I'm finally free. Laugh my ass off.
Did you say blast my ass off?
No, laugh my ass off. That would be a different story if she said blast my ass off.
Yeah. That seems like a varsity level kink. Hi, I'm into
ass
blasting.
Diapers and a trip to piss at Cape Canaveral. But, she said, my friend is DJing near Union Square around 6 tomorrow. Was wondering if you wanted to go for a bit. The man instantly hard said, fuck yeah.
Hey, Chris, are you reading something, or was that little interjection of instantly hard? Was that you surmising?
There's lots of me in this.
Okay.
And he thought there'd be lots of him and her, but not the case. That's as I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
All right. Checked up on the Instagram, and when Spencer arrived at Union Square, he waited for her near a stage that was in the park, just like she told him to do. Then he spotted Natasha. What happened next surprised him. She stepped on the stage surrounded by what Spencer described as about 100 people and some bodyguards. Natasha takes the mic and she thanks everyone for coming out and says, I'll bet you're wondering what the fuck this is. She then says, so I know all of you here are on Tinder. She says, I invited you all here for a chance to go on a date with me and proceeds to give a Hunger Games speech. And then she proceeded to give a Hunger Games speech about what it's going to take to date her.
Oh, no.
At that point, Spencer decided to go home saying he was too old for this shit. Evidently, the Spencer name means that it was actually Danny Glover who fucking showed up.
Yeah.
So this story is about Danny Glover showing up to Union Square for a date that he found on Tinder.
I explicitly said no games, no drama.
Yes. That's what I said. No games, no drama.
No Hunger Games, no Hunger drama.
Other men duped by Natasha stayed at the park. Apparently still rock hard.
Who's going to take care of this?
Danny Glover took a photo of the scene before he left.
Okay.
Showing Natasha on stage in an all-black outfit. Several men gazing up at her. Some of them used smirks, others a look of utter shock. Another man who had fucked with Natasha on Tinder said that he was invited to Union Square Saturday. She's sending the same messages to everyone. There's a video, actually, right now that shows a group of men who decided to stay in the park who were lined up to compete in a sprinting competition.
This is so fucking dumb.
Passersby stopped to try to prove their worthiness of Natasha's attention.
The only way this is reasonable, mea culpa, I'm not exactly dating a lot, but like the only way that this seems reasonable is, okay, you get up there, you pull this stunt. You've got a park full of horny, angry men. First off, I mean, let's jump to the end of the story. There were no survivors. But you set this up and you say, hey, you know, just where I'm going to test. I'm going to see who's worthy. What you do, you leave only one route of egress And everybody who says, no, fuck this, I'm not, God damn it. You take those people, guess what? By leaving, you're the winner. You enter the runoff. Everybody who stayed and decided to do a fucking track and field day for Tram, they don't get to date you.
But here's the thing, Cole.
Okay.
You would anticipate that anyone who is gullible enough to show up could partake in the sprinting competition should they want to. But there was actually a screening criteria at first that weeded out people before. They weeded out people who could not participate in the scam. And do you want to know what those two criteria were, Cole?
I do. Yeah.
Men under 5'10" and men with a name that either is or could be construed to be Jimmy.
Very specific.
And fuck you, bitch. Jimmy's not 5'10" anyway.
Jimmy wears lifts.
Yes. Jimmy wears lifts. That is real. That 5'10" and you, no Jimmy's.
God. Huh. 5'10" seems very arbitrary to me.
Was there ever a gangster named Jimmy Hats?
Should be now.
It should be.
It seems like that would be that'd be the way to go.
Jimmy Hats.
Yeah.
Why did they call him Jimmy Hats?
I mean, we're just more a bunch of hats.
Stage 4 syphilis.
he had to cover up the blotching.
You don't want to fuck with Jimmy Hats. He's fucking crazy from syphilis.
His nose is fake.
This has been Those Damn Ross Kids.
Hey, Chris, want me to tell people what they can do?
Please do, Jimmy Hat.
Yeah, see? I just picture him, like, going around and, like, just running his protection racket wearing, like, a Jamiroquai Dr. Seuss hat. Anyway, no. So if you are listening to this...
Wouldn't it have been different if the Cat in the Hat had a reservoir tip?
so dumb. If you're listening to this, you can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv to support the entire network. I stream video games on weekend evenings. If you want to come watch that, twitch.tv/duckfeedtv. Otherwise, leave a rating or review on the show and tell your friends. I think that's everything for right now.
Hey, I think you got it.
Cool. Sorry, America.
Sorry.